a little bit weird, actually, to tell you the truth, to look over here and not have anybody in that section over there. I almost asked a question, what did y'all do with them? But I know that Meredith was talking to me this morning that I believe she says her uncle that had a heart attack, and so they were going up to Louisville to Norton's Hospital to see him this afternoon. So that probably explains why they're not here. And, of course, others are out and, for various reasons. But tonight what we want to do is really come to a conclusion on serious lessons that we've been talking about, and that's honor, respect. As we mentioned the first lesson, that it seems like our country is going through a HRDD problem, and that is honor and respect deficit disorder. And that, so we decided to talk some about this. Among the things we did was, first of all, we simply defined what honor and respect is, what that really means. Not just a dictionary definition of the value to appreciate highly, but what I've been trying to do is trying to get to the point of what does that really mean in our lives. And we also talked about some things that we are to honor and respect. It's not the fact that our society doesn't honor and respect things, but a lot of times it's honor and respect the wrong things. And the Bible warns us about some of those things. We mentioned humanism. We mentioned the idea of popularity and those things that the Bible warns us about, but we are to honor and respect our spouses, we're to honor and respect God, our children. And then we talked about cultivating the attitude and actions of honor and respect. And that is that we have to be able to empty ourselves and basically quit thinking so much about ourselves and think more about other people. As we were talking about that part of this. And so tonight is going to be how we show honor and respect. If you would ask various people out there, do you honor God? Do you respect God? I believe a lot of people will say yes. In fact, you may drive around and occasionally see a car with a bumper sticker on it that says something to the effect of, thank you, Jesus, or honk if you love God, or honk if you love Jesus. And you have people doing various things. They will say, this is all intended to honor God. Well, we want to look at what the Bible says about this. And if you would turn your Bibles over to Luke 15 chapter, a well-known passage. I'm not trying to say that we haven't studied it before. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And as you look at that parable, when he starts off verse 11, and I'm not going to kind of paraphrase some of this because it is such a well-known passage, that we have a man with two sons. The younger son comes to his father, demands his portion of the inheritance. And so the father gives that son his portion. And the son goes off to a faraway country, the passage says. And he gets involved in prodigal or riotous living. And that is, he goes out and parties it up. Has a great time. But eventually, a famine occurs in that land. And this man is without any money. He has wasted everything his father gave him. And at that point, he's without friends. And so he is in want and need. And he turns to apparently the only job he could get, and that is feeding hogs. And in that desperate situation, he even looks at what the hogs are eating. He desires to have that. Now that's being hungry. And at that point, it says, they start to come to himself. Verse 17, they came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And again, I realize we have studied this passage many times. But when we look at this son, there are certain things he did that shows an element of honor and respect towards his father. Now, not when he is involved in riotous living, but when he decides to come back to his father. And one thing we notice that he does is that he valued his father's home. When he's out there in basically a squalor, when he's out there starving, he started thinking about all the good things that was available in his father's house. You know, sometimes as young people, we desire to leave home. And we may decide to leave home, and after a while we realize that there are a lot of advantages, a lot of benefits of being inside the dad's home or the father's home. And that's what this man here did. He comes back and he starts thinking about the things his father offered him. The same thing we see is that this man spoke directly to his father. It wasn't a case where he goes to everybody else. It wasn't a case where he goes to his neighbors or goes to the people of the land he's living in far away. But he actually travels a great distance and he goes to his father and speaks directly to him. Not only that, but also we say that he also admitted his faults. It wasn't one of those blame game type deals where he says, I wouldn't have done this if you had been a better father. Or I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have gone to such a faraway country if you'd been more understanding of my needs and consider me more. What he does here is he puts all the blame on himself. And then he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's acknowledging his faults. But then also with this father, we see some things. One is with the father, they acknowledge his son's return. Now, when I read about this passage, I think about the contrast really in the Old Testament was with King David and Absalom. And that when Absalom had his half-brother killed, Ammon, and Absalom is banished for a while and then basically comes back eventually to Jerusalem, that the Bible says that it's a whole year before David ever sees his son and ever talks to him. Well, here in this case, here the father actually sees his son a long ways off. And he doesn't sit there and doesn't stand there and think, well, when the son winds up, maybe I'll talk to him then. What the father does, he actually runs out and meets him. Again, he's showing that he values his son, and he explains why later on. And that is, this man, to him, his son was dead. Anybody's ever had a child be lost? And I'm talking about physically just be lost for a short time period. You know the horror that could represent, the mental anguish that can present, the idea of what can happen to my son. And this man has simply acknowledged that his son was valuable to him. Not only that, but also he rejoiced. He was happy to see his son come back. Again, I've never been in this position, but I have known of various people that have had a child to leave and not know where they were for a prolonged period of time. I know a gospel preacher talked about his daughter one time who left her home, and for over a year they had no contact one bit whatsoever with her. And eventually one night she showed back up in their house, and at that he said they simply just cried because their daughter was back. They rejoiced. And then also we have this man that goes down and he said, let's give him the very best. You know, as I said here, let's put on him the best robe. And then also when he talks about the ring and the sandals, these things they wear. And he doesn't just say, let's bring some food here. But he said, let's go out and have this fatted calf killed. Let's celebrate with it. Again, it shows great wealth in the father's household. I'm not sure how many people back then had a calf just set aside that had been fatted just for such an occasion. But this man had that, and he was not holding back one bit. He wanted to do everything he could to rejoice about his son being there, so he offered the very best. Well, let's apply this in another area, and that is how do we show honor and respect to other people? In a lot of ways, we do the very same things that we had just talked about. For instance, that when you have somebody to show up, do you acknowledge their presence? Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where somebody shows up, and you are in total awe of that person. Maybe you're awestruck because of somebody that you've read about, somebody maybe famous. I don't know if somebody would come in tonight here that you have been reading about. Maybe if you're involved in computers and industry, maybe if Bill Gates showed up. A man's worth billions of dollars. Or if you're a fan of athletics, if you have a University of Kentucky football player, basketball player, University of Louisville basketball player show up, if they have any more, you would look at them and maybe you would be in awe of that person. And then you start thinking about other people that you may actually just have trouble talking to because of who they are. But eventually you have to acknowledge them. Eventually you have to talk to them. And so the Bible says that there are people we honor by acknowledging their presence. For instance, over in Leviticus 19, chapter 32. Let's talk about the older. He says, shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of old man and fear your God, I am the Lord. That the older person deserves honor and respect because of the years of service they put in the service to God. That we think about King Solomon and with his mother Bathsheba. That we look over in 1 Kings 2nd chapter, and Bathsheba's actually the one approaching him. And that she's going to argue on behalf of her son. But it said Bathsheba before went to the king Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother, such as sat at his right hand. Now here's the king of Israel. A man we all talk about being the wisest man that ever lived. But when his mother showed up, he didn't just say, I'm the king and you need to bow down to me. What he does, he shows her honor and respect. He rises for her. He bows down to her. He gives her a place of prominence right beside him. We have other passages talks about, for instance, one's wife. I treat her as the weaker vessel, honoring her, it says, as the weaker vessel, as far as how a husband treats his wife. And so in all these situations, we are showing honor by acknowledging the person and actually talking to him. If you have anybody to ever ignore you, we've always had that kind of situation where we show up someplace, walk in a room, and this person is talking to everybody else, but they avoid us. And what is that telling you? Well, most of us interpret that as being a sign they don't want to talk to me for whatever reason. In fact, one lady was talking about this, about American men in particular, and she said, attentiveness, is sadly lacking in most men, and especially in American men. When they come home from work, when they take the wives for granted, when they are part of the scenery, like the furniture, the walls, the draperies, they are the background. The man sinks into the sofa and reads the paper or watches the television. The woman feels no more significant to him than the kitchen sink. As she talks to him, he mutters a few words and continues to read the newspaper or goes to the basement or the garage to work on his hobby. And wife begins to think he doesn't even know him alive. Now, this is one person's opinion, one person's viewpoint. But we can understand how sometimes marriages have problems because one person simply is acknowledging the other person. Or maybe your children, or maybe again, a brother, sister in Christ. You have to acknowledge that person. But that second thing is that you honor the person when you give them praise. Now again, some people are so self-centered. They never really think about what other people are doing for them. They just take for granted. But you have to eventually have to start paying attention and notice that there are people that are really doing you well because of how they age you in life. And Proverbs 31st chapter, verse 29, talking about the worthy woman, the husband said, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And there's various ways we show our appreciation, we praise people. It may be a case of bringing flowers home to your wife. It may be an occasion of simply a pat on the back or saying you're doing a great job. It may be the person that gives the proverbial gold watch as they're about ready to retire when the company acknowledges the years of service they gave them. Again, all that is showing an element of honor and respect that the person deserves. And so we need to do the same thing. When people are doing well, we need to tell them. We need to give them a pat on the back and praise them for the good things they are doing. But then another thing a person does whenever they want to show honor and respect is they talk to them. They communicate with them. And that is they spend time and they actually listen to what's being said, how often we talk to somebody, and how we talk to them shows our honor and respect to that person. I dare say, and I haven't seen any statistics, used to be, they say that the day of the year where the phone companies were the busiest used to be Mother's Day. And that's because everybody's calling home to talk to Mom. Everybody's remembering Mom. And that, again, that shows because that special day set aside to really remember them. And so we look at this and realize that, again, we're to listen to other people. And that one of the problems God had with children of Israel, in fact, was they quit listening to him. At the end of St. Chronicles, 36th chapter, he's talking about when they were carried off in captivity. And I said this about children of Israel. Said, the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because they compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. All this here is showing that he respected, he really valued his people. He sent them, all these people, to tell them what he wanted them to do. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against people till there was no remedy. But he was trying to communicate with them. They weren't listening. If they had been honoring God, they would have listened to him. But he was honoring them by communicating with them. And so we have to communicate with people. We have to make sure that we are not being argumentative. There's times we may have disagreements. But even then, you have to listen to what the other person is saying. You have to think about what they're considering from their point of view. We have to correct with love, the Bible talks about. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a brother, younger men as him as father, younger men as brothers. And again, there's various ways we do that. Maybe yes ma'am, no ma'am. We talk to an older person. In the military, what do they tell you to do? What's the standard practice? Rule, I guess you call it. And somebody of higher rank, you say, sir. And as you are showing them respect, no matter how what you may think of them personally, you are to show them respect because of the rank. Well, again, they're showing the idea of honor. But then also we look and we say, well, you show honor, respect to other people by doing what's asked of you. You know, if you tell somebody I honor you, but then you don't listen to them, and then you actually go out and do the opposite things they ask you to do, that's not showing honor, respect. When you think about this prodigal son, this prodigal son had gone out and wasted what his father had, and then he has his older brother. We often concentrate on the younger brother. But the older brother was actually in worse condition. And that is when the father comes and is celebrating over the son that's come back, the older brother, if you go back here, look at the 15th chapter again, and verse 15 said, now this older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard some music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And he said, and said to his father, and so he answered and said to his father, over these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your command at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might have made merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother's dead and is alive again, is lost and is found. Sadly, what's missing out of that passage is that this oldest brother never does go inside. He never obeys his father and goes aside and rejoices with him. The Bible says when we are going to honor somebody, we have to do it. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone says, my Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he does what my Father is in heaven. And that we cannot say we honor God at the same time of disobeying his word. But then also we show here that we show honor by giving our best. The father had done this. The father had, I mentioned earlier, he had the fatted calf killed. He had the ring. He had the best robe put out for his son. He withheld nothing of honor to his son. And the Bible says, again, the same thing as far as we are to do our best for the people. As far as the servant, the slave-master relationship, at 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let us be bondservants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so the name of God and doctrine may not be blasphemed. And so, in other words, we're to do our very best for that person. You honor and respect your spouse when you're being the best spouse you can be. You honor and respect your children when you're being the best parents you can be. You honor and respecting your employer when you're being the best employee you can be. So we are to do our best. And then finally, when you say that we have here, honor and respect those they honor and respect. There are certain people that we have known in times past that because of friendships, that they would say, now I have somebody coming, and could you do something for them? And though I may not know that person, because the relationship I had with the first person asking me meant that I was going to help that person because, not because that person, that second person, because the first person. Whenever our children were, we lived in here in Kentucky, but our girls went to Arkansas camp. And during summertime, that's about 6-8 hours away. And one year we let Hope drive, Hope and Noah both went. And after they got out of camp that Saturday morning, I had called a friend up in about 2 hours away, an hour away actually, and I said, could they come and spend all time with you? Could they come to your house when you spend time with you and your wife and rest there and get a good nap before they come on home? And that's all I had to ask. I knew from that point onward that they would have a nice place to stay and they'd be treated well. And because of the relationship we have with each other. And so the same thing as far as people that we honor and respect. In fact, over in Luke the 20th chapter. I didn't put this on the chart, but if you look at Luke the 20th chapter, and verses 9 through verse 16. And that passage says, certain men planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went to a far country for a long time. Now at this time he sent a messenger to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treating him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. Again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? And the point is that they have shown total disrespect for him by rejecting the master, the servants they had sent, and rejecting his son. They had refused to honor him. If they want to honor him, they will receive those people. And they would receive the son. And so we have to look at it that way. Now finally, we say, but we show honor respect when we admit our faults. You have a good friend. Maybe you're talking about your spouse, or maybe talking about just a friend that you hang around with a lot. And you do something or say something you realize is wrong. What are you going to do? If you really value that relationship, what you're going to do is you're going to go and say, you know what, I'm wrong. Honey, I'm sorry, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. Or you should go to somebody and say, I messed up. Could you please forgive me? James 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Those are things we do to repair relationships. Those are what things we do to honor people we're around. Well, let's apply this one last theory. Nonetheless, it'll be yours. And that is, how do we show honor and respect towards God? Now, again, I will say that a lot of people out in the world around us are trying to do that. I'm not doubting that people often say they want to honor God, and they show signs of trying to do things. But you know, when you get right down to it, you honor God, first of all, by acknowledging his presence and who he is. We have to acknowledge that God is our creator, that God is a great I am, as the Bible describes him. He's not simply the big guy, or he's not simply a grandfather in the sky, but he is our God, and to be treated with respect and with awe. The psalmist in Psalms 100 said, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving. Enter to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Do we remember God when things are going well? What happens when there's a tragedy? A big national tragedy, or maybe somebody has a loved one that's sick. And a lot of times in that situation, we ask about God, we think about God, maybe we blame God. Depends on the person. But when we think about God when things are good, They'll give him a praise and acknowledge the good things we receive from day to day, our food, shelter, and clothing, our loved ones, the health we enjoy, this great country we live in, the fact that salvation has been made available to us. We have to acknowledge who God is and his presence. Then also, we look at this here in Malachi. He brings down one of the problems with children of Israel wasn't the fact they didn't know who God was, but it was in a sense of how they prioritize people and God. And so here in this passage, the son honors his father and a servant his master. And then I'm the father, where's my honor? And if I'm the master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, do you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, well, what do we have? We despise your name. He goes in and mentions some things he had done. But he knows what he's saying, and that is, why is it you see the need to honor these people, not to honor me? Again, just thinking human terms, what if we had tonight, for whatever reason, somebody very famous, somebody very powerful, what if we had the President of the United States show up? Granted, that's probably not very likely. But what if we actually had the President or somebody of great power in our country to show up? What would we do? Will we talk to him? Will we, again, make him feel welcome? Will we praise him for the good things we're doing? And God said, if you're going to do that, why is it you don't show me honor? We need to make sure we honor God and his presence for who he is. The second thing is we have to praise him for all the good things he provides with us every day and the spiritual blessings also. Now we receive, I already mentioned, the food, shelter, clothing, the things we need, but the spiritual blessings are even greater. And that the things we receive, physically speaking, are temporary. But the things that are spiritual are eternal. And James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with him there is no variation or shadow of turning. That we need to acknowledge the fact of how good God has been to us. And again, be thankful. But then a third thing we can do is by communicating to him. And I'm talking here about prayer. The Bible in so many passages talks about prayer. Pray without ceasing. Jesus talks about the proper attitude of prayer and those kind of things there. And Paul, when he says pray without ceasing, that's what he meant. Now, sometimes people say, well, he's talking about an attitude of prayer. Well, I agree that we have to have the right attitude, and prayer doesn't always have to be close your eyes and make a long-winded prayer, but prayer is something that is continuous, something that we should do on a regular basis because we want to talk to God. God talks to us. He talks to us through the Bible. And our prayers are our way of talking to him, letting him know what's on your mind. And my children, that whenever they call, they spend time talking about what's going on in their lives, that tells me something about our relationship. And the same thing with God. But then also we show God honor and respect when he do what he commands us to do. And this is where sometimes people fall off short, because people sometimes think, well, I want to honor God, but then they don't actually read the Bible. They don't actually do what the Bible says. But Jesus says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. It's really not that hard to do. And that is, you look, see what the Bible says, and then you do it. And we can apply this in so many ways as far as, okay, how do we honor God? First thing you have to do is you have to honor his son. And you have to obey the gospel of Christ. You have to be baptized for remission of sins. In Acts 2 verse 38, when they ask the question, men, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized for remission of your sins. That's exactly what he meant. And it was just those people on the day of Pentecost. That answer still applies to us today, somebody today. We come forward and say, you know, I want to be saved. What is it I need to do? And I would ask them things like, oh, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? And the reason I ask that, because the Bible says we need to honor him, respect him as being Son of God. Are you willing to confess him as Son of God, repent of your sins, be baptized? All those things are commandments of God. And so we have to obey his commandments. We have to obey his commandments also when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, as we've done earlier today, and as will be offered in a little while for those who were not present this morning. And we honor and respect him by coming together and worship him and saying praise to him and studying his word. These are things we do by honoring God. We keep those commandments. That applies to us in our homes also. of being a husband and wife, we ought to be. Of being the children, of beating children, the Bible talks about. These are all things we do, and we're honoring God. But then also, we honor God when we give Him our best. When we give Him the very best we have to give. Going back to Malachi, I read earlier that passage, the Malachi 1, verse 6. Well, if you go on in verse 7, and then he's taught, said, you did not show me honor. He said, how have we not showed you honor? Well, verse 7 is the answer. You offered defiled food on my altar. But saying, what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And we offer the blind as sacrifice, is it not evil? And we offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Or then to your offer them to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he be accepted? Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And we can apply this again in various areas and maybe excuses as far as missing services. Would our boss accept the same excuses? Will they have the same attitude? Which one do we show, give our best to? Do we give it to God? And so that's how we show honor to God. And doing that, I mentioned that we have to honor, respecting those who God respects. Honoring those who God also honors. And may say, who would some of those people be? Well, again, we've got to mention this here, and that's Jesus. On Mount Transfiguration, God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Matthew 7, verse 15, 17, verse 5. And so we honor God when we honor his Son. Listen to what Jesus says. We honor God when we accept those sent in the name of God. Jesus has sent out the apostles, sent out his ministers. He wanted them to know this. And Luke 10, verse 16, 17 says, he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But he's saying, just here's a line of thought. And as you see that person over here teaching the gospel, you see that person over here pointing to the Bible, saying, here's what the Bible says. And you say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want a part of that. Just shut up. Don't even say anything about it. And get out of my sight. Get out where I can't hear anymore. And so I want you to know, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And they haven't just rejected me. They've rejected God. We need to keep that in mind. We need to accept those who teach the Word of God. Listen to them. And then also, we honor and respect those things like His Word. The Word of God itself. To treat it as special. The righteous. Those who are serving God. We need to honor and respect them. Then also we say that we need to we honor God by admitting our faults. When we sin against God. I'm not trying to again blame other people, but simply acknowledge to God that we have sinned and ask God for forgiveness. Now, I'm talking here about a child of God. A person not a child of God has, first of all, become a child of God. You have to be baptized for remission of sins to be a Christian. But then at that point, when you find out you've done something wrong, Acts 2, verse 22, Simon the sorcerer thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit money. And he's told that repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray of God and perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And there is, you have to acknowledge you're wrong. That's what he's telling him. Another passage is over in 1 John 1:19. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I've known a lot of good people. I got a thing about this not too long ago, I guess it was Memorial Day, that I know too many people that are now in the cemetery. It's kind of like when I was a child, I remember going to cemeteries and just looking around and thought, I don't know anybody here, which makes sense. However, it gets to a point where you start looking around, you start thinking about the people you used to know and now they're gone. And I've known a lot of really good people, but I've never known anybody be perfect. And those people will acknowledge they were not perfect. And they will acknowledge that they needed God's grace. They needed God's forgiveness. And God says, if we're willing to make that confession, he's willing to forgive us our sins. And so that's how we honor God. By when we do sin, we confess our sins to him. And so as we end this lesson here, again, we honor God when we believe Jesus, Son of God, when we're willing to repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ, and be immersed in water for remission of our sins. And it doesn't really stop there, and that is also being faithful to the Word of God from that time onward. I hope this series of lessons I have just kind of helped maybe focus us on what it really means to honor and respect God, what we need to do in our homes and our worship and our attitude towards God. Tonight, if you need to respond to this invitation, we have a song selected. We're here to aid you in any way we can. Why don't you let us know, Stan?